Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Hey. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Joan Sayowitz, Devora Chenya, Bas Shlomo Tzvi. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. And we begin on the very last line of Dalid Omud Beis, where we quote the Mishnah, the two dots, Umesaknin, we are allowed to go and repair Es Kil. We turn to Hey Amud Aleph. Kilkule Hamayim Shirushusarab Mukhule. We're allowed to go and fix if you have Kilkule Hamayim. You have, for example, Rashi, top Rashi says, Kigon Avonim Shinoflu Machma Sabar. You have this pit that's filled with water, and there is stones and pebbles and dirt that's fallen into it, so you're allowed to go and fix that. You can dredge it out and clear it out. You're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara tells us that implies the Chatita, you're allowed to go and do cleaning out of some of the pebbles or the dirt that are in this bar, that you can do on Chol HaMoed. However, only Chatita in Chafir alone, to go and dig a brand new bar, to go and dig a brand new reservoir on Chol HaMoed, that is not allowed. So we're now going to discuss this, because this is a very important din. We already had mentioned in the Mishnah that Tzorchei Rabim, if you need things for the public good, you are allowed to do them on Chol HaMoed, so why would you not be allowed to go and do Chafira if the public needs this new well? So Rav Yaakov, Rav Yaakov says the name of Yochanan, Lo Shana, we only said that you're not allowed to do the Chafira, Elashein Rabim Tzrichlem, if the public doesn't need them. What does it mean the Rabim doesn't need them? There's enough water, and they don't need them for the Yontif. So therefore, there's no reason to dig it on Chol HaMoed. Avo Rabim Tzrichlem, if the public does need the water, Afilu Chafira Mutter. Then even in that situation, Chafira is Mutter. Now, V'chi Rabim Tzrichlem Yishari, wait a second, the word says, and even if the public does need it, are you allowed to go dig it L'chatchila, Chafira? Again, we have to distinguish. Chatita means to clear out an already dug one that has been filled up with some pebbles and dirt, versus Chafira is digging brand new. So you're telling me that if the Rabim needs it, you're allowed to go and dig brand new, but we have a Bryce that seems to say otherwise. Latanya, Chodetin Boros Shichin Umoros Shoyochid, you're allowed to clear out. Chodetin we use for the term clear out to an already existing one that got filled up somewhat. You're allowed to go clear that out, whether it's a bar, which is a pit, Shichin, which is a certain type of a ditch, and Ma'oros, those are enclosures inside a wall and a ceiling, so they're like a cave. So if they belong to an individual person, Shoyochid, you're allowed to do the Chatita. You can clear it out. However, certainly you don't have to tell me if you can do it for an individual. Vein Tzorech Lomar Sharabim, you certainly can do it for the Rabim. But the Ein Chofrin Boros Shichin Ma'oros Shel Rabim, but even for the Rabim, you're not allowed to go and dig out these brand new Boros, Shichin, or Ma'oros. And certainly, if you can't do it for the Rabim, then Tzorech Lomar Shoyochid. So you can't do it for the individual. Now, my lab, aren't we talking here, Kishirabim Shrichimhem? Doesn't this Brisa seem to suggest that even if it's for the needs of the public, that you're not allowed to go and do this? Now, that goes against what we just said, that if the public needs it, Rabim Shrichimhem, Afilu Chafiru Mutter. Now, I should point out Rashi in the Ksiviyav, he does point out over here that this Loshon, Shel Rabim, doesn't necessarily mean that the Rabim needs it to drink. And you could read this Brisa in accord with the way we'll ultimately read it by saying over here it means Shehem Shel Rabim, that it belongs to the Rabim. But in any event, right now, the simple understanding here is that we have a contrast between what Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Yochanan says, which is that if the Rabim need it, you can dig it, and the Brisa, which is saying that if the Rabim need it, you still can't dig it, l'chatchila. So the Gemara says, no, the Brice is talking about lo, b'she'ein Rabim Tzrichlehem, and there's no steer between what Rav Yaakov or Yochanan said. Rav Yaakov or Rav Yochanan says, if the Rabim need it, you can dig it out, and the Brice says, if the Rabim don't need it, you're not allowed to dig it out. So now, if you're explaining the Brice, it's talking about that the Rabim don't need it, so then that means, d'kavose gabe yochid, she'ein yochid tzrichlehem, it must also be talking about that the yochid doesn't need it. You have to be parallel. The same Brisa, if it's talking about the Rabim don't need it, that's why you can't dig it out. It must be talking about that the individuals don't need it, and therefore, when it says the individuals don't need it, so then chatito mishari, then how come you're allowed to go and excavate? How are you allowed to go and dredge out an already existing bor, shiach, or ma'ara, if the yochid doesn't need it? So what's the heter to do this avoda on Chol HaMoed? Well, Tanya, a different brisa tells us, Boru shichin ma'oros shayochid, konsin mayim l'sochin, you're allowed to go and bring water into a bor, a shiach, or a ma'ara, these pits, ditches, and caves that belong to a person, a private person, you're allowed to go do that on Chol HaMoed. However, it says, avo lo chotetim, but you're not allowed to go and dredge them, you're not allowed to go and get rid of the pebbles in the dirt that has fallen into them. So you can have a perfectly good one that's already been made, and you're allowed to go and have water flow into it, cones in the water there, but you're not allowed to dredge it. Lo chotetit. And this is talking about even for a yachid. Now, the lo shofin esid kain, and you're not allowed to go and fix any cracks in it. Shofin means to smooth out or to plaster up any cracks that are in this bor, shiach, or ma'ara. And that is true of the yachid. Vishal rabim, but if it belongs to the public, chotin also, you are allowed to go and dredge it. Vishofin esid kain, you're allowed to go and fix the cracks. Now, if this brice is talking about a yachid, she'ein yachid sarach lehem, so then we understand why you're not allowed to do chatita. But then the previous brice must be talking about a case where the yachid does need them. So how can you tell me that the previous brice is talking about the chatita is allowed, and here we're saying the chatita is not allowed, so that brisa must be talking about the yochid is sarach lehem, and this brisa is talking about where the yochid is ain't sarach lehem. So the previous brisa has to be talking about a case where yochid sarach lehem. So how can you tell me that it's talking about a yochid ain't sarach lehem? Aye, so what must he then have the answer? Elamai, that the previous brisa is talking about yochid should sarach lehem, but we said that the rabbim don't need it, so the yochid doesn't need it. So if you're saying that the yochid does need it, then it must be talking about, well, the rabbim does need it. So again, we seem to have a problem over here. The internal inconsistency of that previous brisa. B'shiyochid sarach lehem, the kavasi gabi rabbim, b'shiram shricham lehem. Then it must be that they're both at one, that's a sarach lehem. But then it said that you're not allowed to go and dig out a new well. If the rabbim need it, chafira miyasa, then why would it be asa? Well, Tanya, because we learned in another brisa that if the rabbim do need it, it is permitted. So, we said in that other brisa that if you have an already existing bor, shiach, or ma'ara that belongs to a yachid, you can add water to it. And you're even allowed to go be chotetin of it because you're talking about a case where you need it. The person needs the water. But you're not allowed to go and plaster up any of the holes, the cracks that you have in this bor, shiach, or ma'ara. And you're not allowed to go and dredge it. Some aren't gorgeous because this doesn't seem to make sense. The only way it would make sense would be if this is talking about where you don't need it, where the yochid doesn't need it. So the first part of this price is talking about where the yochid needs it, and the second part of this price is talking about where the yochid doesn't need it. So therefore, you're not allowed to be choten usochav losod losobesin if the yochid doesn't need it. And then the shel rabim, it says beferish, if the rabim need it, the chofrin oson v'sodin osobesin. For the rabim, you're allowed to even go and dig a brand new one, and you're certainly allowed to go and plaster any cracks that are in an already existing one. So we seem to have inconsistency in the first brisa that we brought down. Is it talking about yochid tzorich or not? Is it talking about the rabbim tzorich or not? It seems to be not parallel. So Gemara says, you're right, elakasha hach kamaisa, but then the way we first interpreted it doesn't make sense. The way we second interpreted it doesn't make sense. It's inconsistent. So Gemara says, toritz hachi, this is the way you have to read that first brisa. And he says as follows, chotetin boros so yochid. If an individual has a bor, shiach, or ma'ora, you're allowed to go dredge it out. That's under what circumstances? B'sheyochid tzarech lehem. When the individual needs the water, so he can go and dredge his bar, shiach, or ma'ora. And if a yochid can do it, ain't tzarech lomar, then you certainly don't even have to tell me that the b'shel rabim, if the public needs it, that that's allowed to be done. Now, kisherabim tzrichem lehem, and if we're dealing in a case with the rabim, they need the water, then not only can you do the chotetin, da'afilu chafira mutu, then you're even allowed to go and dig a brand new bor, shiach, or ma'ora. Not a problem. Then it tells us, ain chofrin boro shichem or shel rabim, but you're not allowed to dig a brand new bor, shiach, or ma'ora, b'she'ein rabim tzrichem lehem, if the rabim don't need it, and certainly if the rabim aren't allowed to do it, to dig a brand new one for Sevein Tzarech Loma. You don't have to tell me that you can't do a brand new chofrin for Bor Shiach Ma'ara for a yochid, shel yochid. The ain yochid tzarech lehem, because if the yochid doesn't need it, then not only is not digging a new one allowed, but not even dredging the old one. The ain yochid tzarech lehem, afilu chatita nami usur. So we finally got to the right understanding of the brisa. It all depends on the circumstances. You have to read the brisa in the following way. If the yochid needs it, then the yochid's allowed to do the dredging. But if the yochid doesn't need it, then you can't even do dredging. And the rabbim, if the rabbim need it, you can do even digging a brand new one. That is how far we go for the tzorech rabbim. So this is how we reconcile the statement that we brought down in the name of Rav Yaakov or Rav Yochanan with the Brisa. And Rav Ashi adds, and he says, I'll show you that this is right. It's not just a dray over here. I'm Rav Ashi, Masnitsa Nami Daika. You can, if you read our Mishnah carefully, you can see that this is the correct understanding. Because what did our Mishnah say? The Ketanin in our Mishnah, it says, Osin Kol Tzorchei Rabim. that seemed to be unnecessary. Again, Mishnayos don't give us general rules. So when it says you can do kol tzarchei rabim, it must be coming to include an additional specific thing. Kol lasu yemai, what is this coming to say? That osim kol tzarchei rabim, what is a kol tzarchei rabim? Isn't it coming to include this? Lav lasu yechafir, isn't it coming to tell us that if the rabim need it, then you're allowed to go dig a brand new ma'orish yecho or bar? So the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily so. That extra word, of kol tzarchei rabim, are allowed to be done, is coming lasuye what? Hadatanya, the following brisa. The brisa says, yotzin lekavetz es hadrochim, the shluchim of the beis din are allowed to go out on chol hamoed, to go and be mekavetz es hadrochim. Mekavetz es hadrochim means to go and clear the roads of debris, such as, for example, if you have thorns and thistles on the road. Rashi says, Lefanos kotzim shebedrochim, to go and clear away the debris that are on the roads, the thistles and the thorns that are on the roads. Likewise, the shluchim of the beis din are allowed to go out of chol hamoed, ulasakin es harechovos v'es ha'stratos. They can go out and fix up any of the other roads and highways, and stratos are like the public markets, to go and allow people. The Rashi in the Ksiv Yad says, Isratoyos are shvokim l'schora. These are the public marketplaces. In Miskalkul, if they got filled with debris, sheshbam gumos, if they're holes, misakin, you're allowed to fill the holes so people don't trip. And things like that. You're allowed to do them on Chol Hamoed. So that's what this Bryce is telling us, is our extra words in the Mishnah, where it said, Osim kol tzarchei rabim, this is what it's coming to include. Likewise, the Bryce tells us the additional things that included in kol tzarchei rabim, the chol mikvah, shein bo arba mesor, if a mikvah doesn't have 40 saw, 40 saw is the minimum shear for a mikvah, so if a person goes to immerse in a mikvah, and it doesn't have 40 saw, it's not considered that he did a tefillah. So therefore, the shluchim of the basin will go out and make sure that the kosher and mikvahs were all kosher, that they had 40 saw. And margilin l'socha arba masah, if they found them to be lacking to have 40 saw, they would fill them up in a proper way, doing what is called hashaka, to go and bring over water that's not called mayim she'uvim, but they would lead the water from a kosher source to this mikvah to fill it up to 40 saw. So therefore, margilin l'socha, and they would check the mikvahs out to make sure they were kosher, because people would be dealing with all sorts of taros and trumas and maizus on the regalim, so they wanted to make sure that all the mikvahs are good, so that there could be tefillah done for anybody that needed tefillah. And Beis Din is held accountable for this. If the Beis Din doesn't make sure that the thorns are taken off the roads, and that the public roads and the marketplace roads and the mikvahs are all kosher, if this doesn't occur, shim lo yotzu v'yosu kolel, if the basin doesn't take care of this, shekol domim shenishmichu sham, anybody that gets hurt as a result of this, either a person trips and stumbles over some of these obstacles that are in the road, etc., and causes a rachmana litzlan, a loss of life, as Rashi Ksiv Yad says, ba'osun rechovu shabo aleim oivim, for example, if enemies come, v'lo yochu levroch mehera, then ergu, because the roads aren't nice and smooth, and robbers come and attack a person, and he can't run away. You know, he's in his horse and wagon, and the road's not clear, so the robbers can catch up to him, and they kill the guy. Oh, shehuzak odom behem shenofal, in this kab osun kotsim, the person trips on the kotsim, on these thorns, oh shenofal osoch osun meimos, umes, or a person falls into these pits or bars that aren't filled up properly, and he ends up dying. So in all of these situations, if there's any blood that is shed, she called Domish and Ishmael Shah, Male Makosu, Kilem Shachu. We hold the basin accountable as if they actually killed the person. It's based upon the Pasuk Tamil Omer. The Pasuk tells us in Dvarim, Vayo Olecha Domim, that you will be held accountable if there is blood that is shed over here. The beginning of the pasuk says, "V'lo yishofik dam naki b'kerav atzcha." You should make sure that innocent blood isn't shed in your land that Hashem gave you. Hashem Hashem no sein l'cho nachala v'yolech adamim, and you will be held accountable if such blood is shed. So this is what the Bryce is telling us. The Mishnah means when it says osim kol tzarchei rabim, and therefore you can't bring me a raya ravashi that it means to be talking about the chafira of public wells. Gemara says, no, ha behedjek toni lo. Our Mishnah Beferish said what this Braisa says. Our Mishnah said, v'sakin es hadrochem, v'es ha'rechovos, v'es ha'mikvos. So our Mishnah Beferish said all of this. Very hard to understand what the kash is for the Braisa. The Braisa seems to just be duplicating what the Mishnah said. Why would we think the Braisa is coming to add something to the Mishnah in terms of osim kol tzarchei rabim? But in any event, that's what the Mishnah says. The Braisa is not really adding anything, and therefore we're left with what Ravashi said. Therefore, osim kol tzarchei rabim, lasu yemai, lav lasu yechafira, Shma Mina. In fact, Rav Ashi's diuk in the Mishnah is correct, and it's coming to teach us that public wells are allowed to be dug, which our Mishnah did not specifically state. That's what it means when it gives the extra words, Osim Kol Tzorchei Rabin. Now we go to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is quoted and says, "Mitzayin in sekvaros." You're allowed to go and put lime, clear demarcation on the kvaros, or as we pointed out, near the kvaros, so people don't actually go on the kvaros and are not metame the kvaro with the kvaros, with tumas oel, any trumas or maisos or taharos that they have with them. Again, alias regal, people would have a lot of this type of items with them. So you're allowed to go on Chol HaMoed and mark the graves so people don't become tummy to Masoa. Rav Shimon Pasi tells us, Remez Letzion Kvaros Min HaTorah. Where do we find a Remez from the Torah Minayin? Where do we see a idea that the Torah tells us that this is a smart thing for Chachamim to go and send out Shluchim to go and be Mitzayin the Kvaros? So we have a Pasuk that supports this. So the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, V'ro Etzim Adam, you'll see the bone of a person, Ubon Etzel Tzion, and you put up a marker over there, a monument, you put up some sort of a demarcation so people won't be Metame with this bone, Tumas Ohel, Tumas Mace. That's what Rav Shimon Pasi says. Ravina says to Rav Ashi, that's not correct. Omele Ravina, Rav Ashi. Homakami delesi Yecheskel, man omar. Wait a second. You bring me a riot from Navi. Navi, number one, doesn't teach us any new dinim. And number two, until Yecheskel comes along towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, what in the world did people do to know this din? Where do we see a source for this din earlier than Yecheskel? That's what Ravina asked to Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi tells him, "Ul tamechet, according to you, every time we have a din that's alluded to in Navi, such as Ha Damar Ruchista, Dover Zeh Mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu, but Midiri Yechezel Muzi Lamadnu." So you have this other din which deals with Bris Mila, that a person who's an RL is not allowed to do the Avoda. So where do we find that? It's not in the Torah. It's only listed by Yechezel when he's talking about the third base of Mikdash. So are you telling me that until Yechezel came along and was mechadish this din, which of course no navi can be mechadish a din, so this din wasn't known to us? So obviously this din was known to us. So it does say in Yecheskel, kol ben nechor, or el lev, the erel basar, lo yovo el mikdashi. Now the word l'shoseni is just not in the pasuk, that's why it's put in parentheses here, it's a mistake, and the Mesoros Hashas says lasa, b'kra, it's not in the pasuk. So this pasuk tells us that a person who is both an uncircumcised heart, meaning that he is not a believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a person who is physically uncircumcised, he didn't have a bris milah for whatever the reason, is not allowed to do the kahuna. So mikameh, the leisa Yecheskel, before Yecheskel came and brought this idea to us, man omar, we didn't know this din, so we obviously knew this din. We know that an RL is not allowed to go do the avoda, so you can't tell me the Yecheskel taught it to us, so why is it only listed in Yecheskel and not elsewhere? So Gemara says, Elo Gemara Gemirila. We have a tradition, we have a Mesorah that a person who's an RLA, Salach Lamosh B'Sinai, that a person who's an RLA is not allowed to go and do the avoda. And the Chum used this pasuk in Yecheskel as an asmachta, the also Yecheskel, and the rabbis came and said, the asmucha akra, Yecheskel is giving us now a source, so to say, an asmachta, that we can remember this din. So too, in the case that you brought down about Mitzayin and Netzakvaros, yes, we have an allusion to it in Yecheskel, but Hochanami, Kamar Gemirila, we have a tradition, we have a Mesorah that you should go and be Mitzayin the Kvaros, and along comes this pasuk in Yecheskel, also Yecheskel, the Asach HaKra, and the rabbis use this as an asmachta to help us remember this din. And now we'll have, since we started off saying, here's one allusion to this concept of Mitzayin and Sekvaros, we'll have a whole bunch of other psukim that are brought down to show us that you should be Mitzayin the Kvaros, and then we'll have a whole bunch of psukim to teach us certain other ideas as well, similar to this idea. We'll see what we mean as we go through the Gemara. Rabbi Yavo Amar Mihacha. Rabbi Yavo says that the following is a source to be Mitzayin the Kvaros from this Pasuk. And the Pasuk is in Vayikra, where it tells us in regards to a Metzorah, it says, V'tomei Tomei Yikra. You shall have the Metzorah call out to everybody, I am Tomei, V'tomei Tomei Yikra. Now, why this double lashon? We'll explain in a moment. But first, the understanding is, Tumah Korolo, he calls out that he's Tomei, V'omeris Lo Prosh, and he's telling everybody, stay away from me. So therefore, this is the idea that you have a Tumah, you have to stay away from it. So too, when you have a Tumas Kever, you have a Tumah of Tumas Meis, go and announce to everybody to stay away from it. How do you do that? So you go and mark it up, you put plaster on it, you put lime on it, that will be visible from far away, and people won't be metame Tumas Oel over this. So we learn this out from the Metzorah, this concept of stay away from Tumah, and therefore, that's how we learn out to be Mitzayin the Kvaros. Similarly, Chenoma Rabbi Uziel, the great Rabbi Uziel, said over, he was the son, Barbarei, He was the grandson of the Rabbi Uziel, Rabbah of the great Rabbi Uziel. They named the grandson Rabbi Uziel after Zaidi, the great Rabbi Uziel Rabbah. So therefore, he named him after his grandfather. And he said the same thing. Tumor korolo, the Ameris Loprosh. The Mitzvah, the person who has the Tzaraz, has to tell everybody, stay away. Tuma Karolo, I'm Tomei, I'm a Mitzorah, and therefore stay away from me, because if you come near me, you're going to become Tomei Tzaraz as well. So Gemara says, really? Is that what this pasuk Tomei Tomei Yikra is coming to teach us? But we learned elsewhere in the Braisa, we need this Tomei Tomei Yikra to teach us the din in the Braisa, that the Tomei Mitzorah has to call out the Tomei Tomei Yikra, Tzorach Lodia Tzaru L'Rabim, the Rabim V'Akshim L'Av Rachamim, that the purpose of him announcing this isn't to tell people to stay away from him, it's to tell people, Nebuch, I'm in this very sad situation of having Tzaraz, please go and daven for me on my behalf, I'm in trouble, Lodia Tzaru. I'm unable to go into a walled city. I'm unable to carry on my functions as a regular yid. I have to stay out of certain places, and I'm in distress. So please help me and daven on my behalf. We find the same thing by a chola. It says that the Mitzorah, the chola, the people in Avelos would walk in the different direction. Everybody else would be walking, I think, counterclockwise, and they would walk clockwise. So everybody would walk in a different direction than them, and they would ask them, oh no, why are you walking in this direction? You're walking against traffic, so to say. And they would say, oh, Nebuch, I'm in Avelos. Oh, Nebuch, I'm sick. Oh, Nebuch, I'm a Mitzorah. And this way, the other people would be asking Rachamim for them. So that's why he has to call out Tommy, Tommy, Yikra, so people will know and daven on his behalf. So one says, yeah, both of them are correct. The idea of being marking the kvaros, the mitzayin and the sakvaros, can be learned from here, because he tells everybody to stay away from me, and also he's telling everybody to be rabim avakshinol of rachamim, that everybody should daven for him, because that's why it says tomei tomei, the double lashon in kain lichtov tomei the tomei yikra, just write it one time. My v'tomei tomei, the double writing teaches us both of these dinim shamas mino tarte. We learn that one of the reasons is to stay away from me, but the other one is to please daven on my behalf. We have additional psukim that are going to be brought down by various Amorayim now to teach us this idea of Mitzayin and Sakvaros as well. And they're all basically telling us the same thing, that a person has to stay away from trouble. Abai brings down the famous pasuk, that a person should make sure that he doesn't have a stumbling block. So, therefore, this unmarked grave would be a stumbling block. It would cause somebody to become Tomei unintentionally, and there would be Mitami, their Trumas and Meisters, and all of their Kachim, and their Taharos, and therefore a person should be very careful to stay away. Go be Mitzayin the Kvaros. That's Abaye. Rapapa Amar from this Pasuk, all Tosus points out, they're not all mutually contradictory. They're not all saying, my way is right and your way is wrong. Each of them brought their own Pasuk. As Tosus Libra Maskel, Rapapa Omar tells us that the low pligi, they're not arguing one with the other. Elo urche de milsa, this is the normal way. The chochad masika daite, my de lo masik chavriya daite. Each one thought from this pasuk, you could learn this idea out. Lav dafka, they didn't think that the other psukim were correct also. Each of them is bringing their own source. So Rapapa tells us from the pasuk where it says, Vyamar solu solu panu darach, from Yeshaya. It says, to Yeshaya says, go and make a road. Go and make a road, panu derech, for the people to go through. Clear this road over here, and therefore, in other words, be mitzayin the kvaros. Reb Chanina Amar from this pasuk, he says, harimu michshol miderech ami. Go and remove. And that same pasuk, it says at the end of that pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk, it says solu solu panu derech, and the end of the pasuk says harimu michshol miderech ami. So he says, remove the obstacle, the michshol that's in my path. So that's to be mitzayin the kvaros. Rishua bereid Ravidi Amar. Rishua was the son of Ravidi. He said from the following pasuk. Here's a pasuk from Shmos where it tells us vodat lemes haderech. And the word asher isn't there. Yelchuba, and you'll go on the road in which you should go, and therefore you'll teach them the right road to go. In other words, don't go on the road that's going to become Metame, your Trumas and Mises, and your Taras. Masurcha learns it from the following pasuk. He says, Vizartim es b'nei Yisrael mitumasam, and you will go and separate. Vizartim means to make them strangers, make them separate b'nei Yisrael from their Tumah. In other words, stay away from Tumah. Rav Ashi Amar from this pasuk, it says, Ushmartem es mishmarti, you shall go and watch and take care to be careful with my mishmeris, mishmarti. So asu mishmeris the mishmarti. So go make a safeguard, go and make additional precautions against getting my things tame. In other words, go and mark off the graves. Ravina Amar from this pasuk, and he says this pasuk in Tehillim, the som derech arenu b'yesha elokim, the one who goes and places the roads, so he will be careful with his roads, so he will see the Yesha Elokim, he'll see the Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, go and prepare the roads to make sure that they're not going to be trouble for you, in other words, be Mitzayin in the Kvar. So all these Amarayim bring down these various psukim to teach us this idea that the person be careful not to become into trouble. And here the trouble that they're referring to is the Mitzayin in the Kvar, you shouldn't become Mitami, your Trumas of Isis, and your Taharos during Aliyas Rega. Fine. Now this last pasuk from Tehillim, Rishu ben Levi darshes in a different way. Again, not saying that Ravina is wrong, not saying that they can't have more than one interpretation, but he darshes it the following way. Rishu ben Levi, kol hasham, he darshes instead of sum with the sin, he darshes shum, which means to evaluate or to appraise with the shin, shaman, Rashi says. So kol hasham, anybody who evaluates, or chosav, his ways. In other words, a person who's constantly thinking, am I doing the right thing? So such a person is going to be Zoche V'roh B'Yeshuasu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll see Mashiach come. He'll live to see the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. Because he darshens the word. The pasuk says, Som Derech. Shenema, the pasuk says, V'Som Derech Arenu B'Yesh Elokim. So he says, Al Tikre V'Som with the sin. Elo, read it V'Sham, to measure, Shamin Derech. Arenu B'Yesh Elokim, the person who is careful about his ways that he goes. In other words, he's constantly evaluating his actions and saying, did I do the right thing? Did I do the right thing? As Rashi brings down over here, in Dibra Maschil, Arenu B'Yesh Elokim, Zeh Hashom Or Chosav, if he evaluates his ways, he gives himself introspection. Hamachashiv Hefsid Mitzvah Kineged Schora. He thinks about, if I do this action, then I will lose a certain amount of money, but I'll do the mitzvah. So he's saying, well, it's worth it for me to lose this amount of money in order to do this mitzvah, to lose something in order to do the mitzvah. So he's weighing and evaluating. Uschar Aveira. And he says, whoa, I'm going to enjoy this Aveira, but Kineged Hefsid, look what it's going to cause me in loss in terms of my spirituality, in terms of going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that the word Visham means Kamo Shamim, to evaluate. So a person who evaluates everything that he does, he says, is this worthwhile for me to do? Is this not worthwhile for me to do? Such a person, the Sham Derech, Arenu B'Yesh Elokim, he will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua. That's the way Rishu B'Levi darshens this pasuk. Similarly, Rav Yanai, Havalei, Ha'u Tamida, Dechoyoma, Hava Makashilei. Rav Yanai had one student that was always asking him tough questions in the shir. Now, that's always something that's desirable. When a person gives a shir, person should ask questions to make sure that they understand it and to make things clearer. I know when people ask me questions, so I have to go back and think, did I say the right thing? And I have to be able to answer the question. So it's good to have the pilpul, the back and forth. That's the greatness of learning with a chavrusa. And that's something that a person should always be looking forward to. So Rav Yanai had such a student that would ask him difficult questions in the shir. However, when it was a public shir, as opposed to the regular daily shir, which was just the boys in the class, but b'shabatza d'rigla, Rashi explains that they would all get together, and shum da'asu kuliyamul apirkot, they would have special shiurim on the shlosh regalim. These were the big public shiurim that everybody would show up at, lo havu makashilei. This Talmud wouldn't go and try to disprove his Rebbe or try to contrast what the Rebbe said with something else and try to show that the Rebbe wasn't correct. Not again to embarrass the Rebbe, but as part of the normal pilpul of Torah. So in the Shabbos of the Regal, Tosa says the Shabbos of the Regal is Shabbos Shal Yom HaRegel, Shal Yudarshin, or Yumaskapsim, Kol B'nei Ayir, L'shmo Hilchus Shal Regel. So everybody would get together and learn the halachos of the Regal on the Regal. This is the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha type of thing to teach the people the halachos of Pesach. So therefore they would all get together. So this Talmud, who would normally question things that his Rebbe would say, wouldn't ask public questions. And we turn to Hey on the days, why didn't he do so? Because he said that it's not worthwhile over here to maybe possibly schlug up the Rebbe or to point out something that maybe not 100% correct or to go and make the Rebbe embarrassed. He doesn't have the answer to one of my questions in this public setting. No, I'll have a chance. I'll ask him afterwards. If there's something that I think is the Rebbe said something I don't understand, I'll ask him afterwards. As the top Rashi says, Shemachasid b'shoz, Ezemihen lahakshos, Ezemihen shlo lahakshos. So he would evaluate his ways. He would say, this is a good time to ask a question, but in the public setting like that, it's not a good time to ask a question. So Rav Yanai appreciated this tremendously. And Kari Alei, Hayom and Beis, Rav Yanai said about this Talmud, Bisham Derech, This person who was so careful not to ask me a question that could either take people's minds off the shear and digress us or point out a technicality that I said wrong, but it doesn't really impact the shear. So such a Talmud is a great Talmud, and he'll see the Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was very, very careful in the way that he acted. Now the Gemara continues to say, the following b'risa, you don't have to go and be mitzayin to go and demarcate certain types of tumah that won't lead to tumas ohel. And the following is a list of things. And the first one obviously is going to be a question because this could lead to tumas ohel. So this will be the exception to the rule. And more will explain why in a moment. But it tells us in this brisa that the shluchim didn't have to go out and demarcate to be mitzayin as the kvaros. Lo al kizayis min ha-meis. If you only had a kizayis of the mace, now a kizayis of the mace is matame tumas ohel. Tumas ohel is a very important type of tumah that's only by tumas mace, really. And this tumas ohel is when you have you and the mace in the same room. This is when we all know that a kohen can't go to a funeral parlor because Nebuch, the dead body, is in the funeral parlor. So the ability of that tumah to spread out throughout that entire structure is there, and somebody's standing 50 feet away, but he's under the same roof. That's called tumas ohel, and they will become a tami tumas mace. So that's why a kohen doesn't go into a funeral parlor. It doesn't walk under the awning of the funeral parlor. So this din of tumas ohel, that's the typical way that we have tumas ohel. You also have tumas ohel if you're mahel over the mace. If you walk over the kever, so then that's also tumas ohel. And likewise, in the unusual situation where the mace goes over you, so you're lying on the ground and they carry your coffin over you, so that's also tumas ohel. But the concept of tumas ohel doesn't apply, seemingly, as Bryce says, to a kizayis shemes, which is not true. So the Gemara will explain what we're talking about, that you don't have to be mitzayin. It will say it exactly, if you have an exact kizayis of a mace, you don't have to be mitzayin that. And the Gemara will explain, because it will shrink and you'll have less than a kizayis, and we'll talk about the reasons why they didn't have to be mitzayin that. But in general, this price is telling us things that aren't metami tumas ohel, so you don't have to be inside them. So the first one is kizayis omeis, which we have to go and discuss no more. The lo al etzem kisora, if you have a bone that's the size of a sora, so it's not tami tumas ohel. Now, the only reason Tosa says that we brought down the size of etzem kisora because that's the minimal size to have tumah b'mago b'masa. But even if it's bigger than an etzem kisora, you still don't have tumas ohel. You need to have, for a bone to be metame, has to be either the majority of the bones of the body, as we'll see, either rov binyan or rov binyan, or it has to have also other parts with it, not just bone. So a bone itself, even though it's bigger than etzem kisora, again, we only use the shear of etzem kisora, Tosa says that's the minimum shear for maga and masa, but a bone, you don't have to be metzayim because it's not metame tumas ohel. Likewise, you don't have to be mitzayim v'lo al dover she'en matamei bo on any other type of tumah that's not matamei via tumas ohel, because only we're concerned over here that you're going to walk over this tumah and you're going to be matamei via ohel. But if it's not matamei via ohel, so then you don't have to be concerned about it. Likewise, the Brisa tells us you do have to be mitzayim of a mitzayim ala shedra v'ala gugoles if you have the spinal column or you have the skull. So if these are in mostly intact, what else we discuss is how much has to be missing in order for it not to be considered a shedra or gugoles, the spinal column or the skull. But in general, if you have an intact spinal column or you have an intact skull, so then this is matame tumas ohel. And likewise, if you have the majority of the skeleton there, al rov binyan, if you have either the majority in terms of the structure, even though it's a minority of the bones, but you have the big bones there, you have the big thigh bones, you have the big arm bones, and the other big bones of the body, the hip bone, and you may not have the majority in terms of the total number of bones, but you have the majority of the skeleton present, or you have the majority of the bones, even though it's not the majority physically of the skeleton. So al rov binyan, al rov minyan, hames, that they are metame tumas ohel. So you have to mark those off so people don't become metame by going over them and be metame tumas ohel. Then the Braisa tells us, bein mitzayin al havados. You don't have to go and demarcate something that's vade tome. Everybody knows this. Rashi Ksiviyad, he says, go basic forest, a cemetery. You have a clear cemetery, you don't have to put limestone all around it, because everybody knows, shakol yodim, uparshin, bein tzortzir. Everybody knows it's a cemetery. Everybody knows, don't go there with your taras, don't go there with your trumas and maisers. So there's no need to mark off something that's vade clear, that that's a place that you can't go. But the Braisa says, Avo mitzayin ala sfeikos, if you have a suffek, you're not sure, as Rashi Ksiviyad says, sheis aleim ohel, kigon, there is a potential that there's an ohel over there, kigon sechochos or pros, hasmuchos lebesek poros, you'll have these branches or these protrusions that come out. And that's what the Braisa tells us. What are these sfeikos? Ve'elein sfeikos, you have sechochos or pros. These are schachos, are like branches that come off. You know, if you have a tree that's over a grave and it's also over a road, so then the person traveling on that road is going to be metame tomasoa. So you have the potential that some of these branches could be over a mace and over the road. So it's a sofek. Are they in fact in this situation? Or you have pros. These are some sorts of protrusions or projections that come out of a wall that may be over a mace and also over, as they go over the road, over a person that's walking there. And besa pras. Now we'll explain the besa pras in a moment. There are three definitions for besa pras. But here we're talking about an area where there was once a grave and that area had been plowed. And we're not sure, is there a tumma over there or not still, because of the plowing may have pushed the tumma into a different place, and it's not right there right now. And it's also going to break it up, so you're not going to have tumas ohel in that situation. So in all of these situations, you have to be mitzayin on these sveikos, these sechachos, these peros, and the base of pras. Finally, the Braisa says, vein mamidin siyun b'makom tumma, you don't put the marker right over the tumma, because the person will see the marker, but then it'll be over the tumma. So you don't put the marker directly over the grave, as I pointed out before, shalol hasitaros, because it'll be too late. Oh, here's the marker. Oops, I'm on the grave. So you put the marker somewhere before the grave so the person can see it and stop and not go further over the grave. Shalol hasitaros, so the hataros, the trumas of Isis, and the taros that he has with him won't become tummy. Likewise, don't put it too far away. Put it a mile away. Oh, you're coming up on a grave in a mile. No. They marachikin, because the areas that you have the marker from there until the grave, you're not going to be able to walk. You want people to stay away from that. So you don't want that to be too much, because then you're going to be mafsid the ability to walk in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to minimize Eretz Yisrael, which we don't want to do. So you put the marker in a short distance away from the grave. So it's enough of a distance that people will stop and not go over the grave, but it's not such a large distance that you're mafsid land in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara goes back and questions the first statement in the Braisa, where we said, "Ukasayis ben Ameis enu matame bi'ol." Now the Gemara says we have is Tanya, but it's really a Mishnah that we have it all. Those should be v'hot. Now the Sorus Hashas says, "Elu shemetamin ba'ol," and it includes kizayis ben Ameis. So how can you tell me over here you don't have to be saying kizayis ben Ameis? So it clearly is matame tumasol. So why wouldn't you be saying it? So the Gemara gives the teretz I mentioned before. Amar Papa, Hocha b'chazayis mitzumtzum atzkin. We're dealing with you exactly a kazayis of the maize, but that's when it's relatively fresh, so to say. The maize nebuch just died. You have a kazayis min maize over here, and it's going to desiccate. It's going to decay and shrink to become less than a kazayis min maize in a short period of time. The sof in a short period of time, michsa chos is going to be less than a kizayis, and then it's not going to be metami to masoel. And therefore, we would rather you not demarcate it right now. So for the next 2 days, 3 days, a week, people that pass over it will unknowingly become tami to masmeis, and the taurus that they'll have with them will become tummy tumas mace. However, since this is a fresh mace, most people will know about this and will stay away even without the markers. This is like a vados, that we don't have to mark a cemetery, so people know near Nebuch, they just buried somebody over there, there's a kizayis mace over there. And therefore, in this situation, it's unlikely that trouble will occur in a short period of time, but after a week, people start forgetting about it, but then it won't have a kizayis min ha-meis anymore. So if you marked it, so then nobody's going to go over this area. We mafsid land in Eretz Yisrael for no reason. So mutav yisrael of truma v'kotchim lefi shah. It's better to take the chance that somebody might not realize this, and now for a few days be ruining their trumas of meisus, their kotchim, their taharos, and trumas of meisus just for this short period of time, which most people will know about, but let's say somebody doesn't know about it. So better to burn one or twice the trumas of meisus of kotchim by yisrael all of the olam, or have them forever, that people are going to mistakenly go over this marker. Oi, there's too much mace over here. We have to burn all our taros. But in fact, it was less than a kizayis shel mace, and therefore, they're going to both be mafsid land in Eretz Yisrael, but more importantly, they're going to incorrectly burn trumas of Isis and taharos, and that's a bigger concern. So therefore, in weighing the two concerns, it's better that you maybe not mark it right now, and the outside chance that somebody won't know about it, they'll have to burn the trumas of Isis and taharos now, rather than have to burn them for all the rest of the time, because people will mistakenly go over this area and think that they have tumas mace there and have to burn it, when in fact it's not matami tumaso because it's less than a kizayis. Then we said in the braisa of elin asvekos, there's a schachos upros. So what exactly are those? So I already interpreted them before. The schachos are ilon hamesach al aretz. These are trees that are over the cemetery, over the tumas mace, and also over the road, and therefore a person passing under them could possibly become tummy tumas mace. You don't know what's on the other side. And peros are projections. These protrusions, avonim, peruos, hayotzos min agadir. We have Yishmael, he's described as a para adam. His hair is all over the place. So these projections are all over the place. Hayotzos min agadir, they come out of the wall, out of the fence, And therefore, there's a concern that maybe they're metami over to Masol and also over the road. And finally, what was the base of pras that we said? So as we'll point out in a moment, there are three definitions of base of pras, but in this brisa, it's using the definition of base of pras, kidifnan, like we learned in the Mishnah in Olos, where it tells us, hachoresh esakever, if somebody goes and plows a grave, plows a field that had a grave in it, harei osa base of pras. So the bones from that person will never be spread out all over the field. And now the concern isn't anymore of Tumas Ohel, but it's a concern of Tumas Mago, that you come into contact with these bones, so it could spread it out over a certain area. How much is that area of Kama Ose? Below Ma'ana, Me'ya Amma. It will spread it out as much as the normal plow goes and plows over here, which will be 100 Ammas from the grave in all directions. So therefore, that's called the Beis HaPras, which could be Metame by Mago and Masa, but not any longer by Tumas Ohel. But you're not sure, and therefore, that's why you have to mark off this area so people don't become Tommy. Now the Gemara says, well, base of pras means matami ba'ol, but it's not matami ba'ol, and I thought we were only marking off things with an ohel. That if a person is carrying taras, he's on his way to bring the Korban Pesach, and he's going to have other taras with him, and he certainly doesn't want to become tami Tumas Meis, so he can bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, it says, if you're passing through this base of pras, which was an area where there was a choresh esakever, they had plowed a grave, so you don't have to worry about Tumas Ohel. You just take a bellows, you blow in front of you with a bellows, some sort of a leaf blower, and you blow that in front of you, and if there's any bone that's over there, it will be blown away. And then you can walk through the base of pras with all your taros and yourself and not become tami. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Amishul says, so there is no Tumas Ohel. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami, Rabbi Yehuda is the son of Ami, Mishmei Dula said over the name of Ula the following. Amar, he said, Beis HaPras Shenidash Tar. He says, if you have this Beis HaPras that it was plowed through, so then there is no Tumas Meis over there. You only have to be concerned, theoretically, about the little bone pieces that are all over the place, but he says that that's a separate type of Tumas. So you take the bellows, but you're not Metame Tumas Ohel. So how can you tell us that you have to be Metzayin a Beis HaPras? So Amar Papa, Lo Kasha, it depends. You're dealing with different types of Beis HaPras. Kam Besodosh Ovid Bokever, if a grave is lost over here and we don't know where the grave is, so then you have to be concerned about Tumas Ohel, because there's a whole grave over here and that is Matami Tumas Ohel. So in that situation, you have to be Mitzayanis Esfegos. You don't know where it is, so you have to put the demarcation around the entire field. Don't go in this field because there may be a mace that is Matami Tumas Ohel buried over here. But in the situation that we brought down, the Beis HaPras, that you just use a bellows and you go through, you take a leaf blower and you blow it away, so you're not going to be Matami by Maga, and you don't have to be worried about Tumas Ohel. That's when you had the kever that was Nechrash, that was plowed through, and there is no Tumas Ohel. There's only Tumas potential of Maga, and with the bellows, you can get rid of that. Gemara is still not happy, and the Gemara says, Visodde. Now, we have the Girsa Shenechrash over here, but it really should be, as you see in the bays from the Hagos Hagra, he says, Sorech Lomar Sha'ovad. So that's the gear that we'll have. So this field, Sha'ovid Bokever, Beis HaPras correlate? Do we call a field that has the potential for a person to be buried there and we just don't know exactly where? Is that called the Beis HaPras? I thought the Beis HaPras was the Nechrash Bokever, that you had the plowed through the field, but not that there was just an entire mace over there. So it says, yes, in. There are three types of Beis HaPras, as I mentioned, because the Mishnah tells us the following. The Mishnah tells us, Shlosha Beis HaPras Hain. Number one, Sodesh Neva Bokeber, you have a field in which a person was buried, but we don't know where. That's the concern that you have for Tumas Beis of Tumas Ohel. That's the Tuma, the Kever is there, but we just don't know where. That you have to be concerned about Tumas Ohel. Then you have the Sodesh Nechrish Bokeber. Then you have a field that there was a dead person there, but it was plowed through, and there's no Tumas Ohel concern. And then you have the third type of Beis HaPras, which is called a Stei Bochen. What is a Stei Bochen? My Stei Bochen. So the Gemara tells us that the Stei Bochen, Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba, Mishmei Ula Omar, Rabbi Yeshua, who's the son of Abba, said the name of Ula, that this Stei Bochen is Sode Shemaftirin Bo Mason. It's the Sode right between two towns. It would have the Chevra Kedisha coming from one town, and they'd bring it to the next town, to where the cemetery was. So this is the transfer point where they would transfer over the mace. So this is an area where they potentially could be behind, they left behind a base there. Somehow it was Erev Shabbos, whatever happened, and they didn't go and actually bury the person in the cemetery, and the person Nebuchadnezzar was put over there. They buried him over there. They were under attack, whatever it may be. The time of Mai, so why is this called the Beis HaPras? So Amar Avim explains, Bishum Yeyush Balam Nogubah, because they may have they're unable to bury the person in the cemetery, and they buried them over here. And therefore, this is called a stay bochen, but it could have a mace there, and that's why it's also called a beis hapras. As Rashi brings down over here in the regular Rashi, mishum yerush balim, lefish eviyum imokum rochok, so they bring it from far away, so it maybe started to decay already, and nidal del aver, maybe not the whole body was there, but an aver fell off. V'nofol shom, v'nisyashu, elu alelu, v'nichu shom, and they couldn't, for whatever the reason, go and bury it, and therefore there may be pieces of a mace that are there, that are metami tumasol, and that's why it's called the beis hapras. Now the Gemara says, "Besodesh and Echrash b'kever lo boy tzion." So the way we understood the Beis HaPras was if it was a grave that was there and you plowed through that area, so there's no tumas oel. So we said you don't need to demarcate that; you don't have to put up the lime or the plaster in that area. It'll be clear that there was a grave over there. Is that really true? Tanya, we learned another brisa, "Motzah sodem mitzuyenes." Then you do a mativa. If you find a field that is demarcated and you don't know what its nature is, in other words, why did they mark it? So yesh bo ilah knows, if you see that there are trees over there, so be a duah shenachush b'kever. It's obvious that it once had been a kever over there, and the fact that the trees there must have been they plowed in between so the trees would grow well. So certainly this was a sodah shenachush b'kever. And by lanos, if there are no trees over there, b'yidusha ava b'kever, they know that there's a kever in this field that hasn't been plowed, and there's really tumas oel. So you see that they demarcated both of them. So how could it be that you're telling me that there's no demarcation on a sodesh nechush b'kever? And review the ads, and review the omer, actually yisham zaki no talmid. You have to leave it in the state that maybe there's a kever over there and there's tumas oel until there's either a zaken or a talmid that was living there and knows what was going on in that place. The talmid is a talmud chacham. So you can tell us what the din is. Why? Lefish ain't hakol, because not everybody is knowledgeable. Ain't hakol b'kiyim b'dover. Not everybody knows what the dinim are. So therefore, we don't know over here what happened to this field, but we see that it was demarcated. So you see that they demarcated even a field that had nechrash bar kever. So kasha, how can you tell me they weren't demarcating such a field? So the Gemara answers, Amar Papa, Ki Tanya Hi, when they said this answer, Besod the Sha'ava B'Kever, the Tzinua. Originally, there was a kever that was lost over there. They didn't plow the field. And that's why they marked it. And now, you can say, Yesh Bo'i Lanus, if there now are trees over there, so then they obviously plowed this field, B'Yadush Nechash B'Kever. Ein Bo'i Lanus, if there are no trees over there, then they certainly still have not plowed the field, B'Yadush Sha'ava B'Kever, and it still has Tumas Ohel. So the marking was before the trees, when there was a real Ovad b'kever, and that everybody agrees is matami tumasol, and you have to go mark it. But subsequently, if they plowed it, how would you know if they plowed it? If there are trees there, then they must have plowed it. If there are no trees there, they didn't plow it. So that's what it teaches us, the din, even though they marked it when there was a kever that was ovad b'kever, now it no longer has the din of being matami tumasol, because it's been plowed if there are trees over there. Someone says, maybe not. Lechosh duma ilonos mi gavai, the kever mi barai. Maybe the trees are on the inside, and the kever is on the outside. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the way it was done. Kedama Ula, Zula said, Ba'omdim al hagvulim. You're talking about the trees are on the borders of the field. They're surrounding the field. So therefore, anything inside, that's where the kever was. Hochanami, Ba'omdim al hagvulim. You're talking here that the trees are the borders, and therefore, there's no way that the grave is going to be on the outside of the trees. It's going to be inside in that area. So that's where you can assume that they plowed that area because the trees are over there. We turn to Vavav and Aleph. Maybe not. V'duma tumma mi gavoy, v'ilonos mi barai. So maybe the tumma is in the inside area, not where the trees are, and the trees are on the outside. So maybe it's only where the trees are, but not in the inside area. So Gemara says, no, mi'misuvachin. They're all intermixed over here. There really is no area that doesn't have trees. So wherever there's trees, that you can assume is the plowed area. Alternatively, v'yis eima, ha'amaran, emrachikin, tziyam imakum tumma. That which we said, you shouldn't distance the Tzion too far away from the Tumah. Shalom Hafsid is Eretz Yisrael, in order that you shouldn't have large areas of Eretz Yisrael that you can't walk in. So, Mistam over here, that this demarcation was right where the Tumah was, where the trees are. So that's the area that you have to be concerned about. And you don't say that it's in a different area. Right over there is where the Tumah is. And therefore, this is a good sign over here. If there are trees there, that this area where the trees are, that's where the field is definitely plowed and there's no longer any Tumas Ohel. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.